with the royal family. So in Proverbs 4:20-27, Solomon says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to the one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." I want you to come with me in your imagination. I sound as though I'm booming. I'm not quite sure why that is. Is it me or is it the level? But I want you to come to Buckingham Palace, because I want you to imagine that this is your home, or at least one of them. Can you imagine it? All this opulence, life, it's yours in all its fullness. There is, of course, a downside, isn't there always? Everything you do, everywhere you go, your life is scrutinized. Woe betide you if you do anything wrong or anything that other people deem as inappropriate. Do you know what I mean? Now, of course, the good news is that that's just a dream. But I do have what might be bad news for you. If you are a Christian here this morning, if you are a follower of Christ, could I ask you to stand? I know this is not allowed, but I always break convention, you know that. Welcome, your royal highnesses. I bring you greetings from our imperial majesties, our heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. A greeting this morning from them. Peace be with you. Please be seated. Now, some of you may have thought that was just a piece of theatre. But it isn't. Let me remind you of what John said some centuries after Solomon. 1 John 3, just the opening of that chapter. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And God is King, the almighty sovereign of the universe." And John says he's lavished his love on us, that we should be called children of God. And just to make the emphasis, he says, and that is what we are. Is that how you see yourself this morning? That here we are coming together of the royal family. You and I are not a part of our royal family of Britain. We are a part of the royal family of God's kingdom. You and I, children of the King. In our journey through the book of Proverbs, we we've come to this horrible subject, integrity. I drew the shortest, well, in fact, I didn't draw the shortest straw, I was given it. Now, what's integrity all about? And you may well ask. It's all about being whole. It's all about being complete. It's all about being consistent. And I want to explore that as it applies to our lives. Are we being what we say we are? We say we're followers of Jesus, but are we in life? Are we being what we are? We are children of the King. But does our lives express it? Is it made up of what is appropriate as children of the royal family? I'm reminded that it's sad that I can say one thing and do another. I can be something in name only. And that's tragic. As well as the damage that it brings to the reality. As I was thinking about this morning, I just kept coming back to pairs of words. But before we look to them, I want to remind you that pairs can either be words that complement each other, complete each other, or they can be words that conflict with each other. An example of the latter, of course, is good and evil. But that's not what I want us to think about. I want us to think about our lives as children of the King by looking at some pairs of words. And I want you to think about them as they apply to you. And as we look at the integrity of your statement that you are a follower of Jesus, the King. That you are a royal child. So come with me on a journey. Let's take the first pair. Dream and demand. If you go back to Genesis and read about the creation, we discover there that God had a dream, or should I say the Trinity had a dream. As they come to the end of the creation of the material world, they had a conversation. Let's make beings like us. What was in their mind? Their dream was that they could have others like themselves who could relate to them, that could respond to them. In a sense, they were going to create a family of which they would be the head. Hence my request that we read Ephesians 1, where Paul just marvels at this incredible dream that God had. That as you and I were given life, he dreamed of having us in his family. Not just for now, but for eternity. Not just in this scrappy little planet, but in the whole of the universe and glory. Tragically, if you remember at the beginning, humanity decided they wanted to go their own way and do their own thing. But the Trinity didn't give up. They had a plan whereby they could restore the break that came. As we know, this led to the sending of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, the sending of the Spirit that he might bring us back to God. But of course, there was a downside. Human beings had to want it. And therefore, with this potential of coming into God's family, there was a demand. We human beings have to want it. We then have to have the will to live out the life that comes with the title. Dream, demand. And then two others. My mind's been going mad for the last couple of months. Becoming and being. Becoming a member of the royal family is simple. You just ask for it. Isn't that fantastic? You try going out to Buckingham Palace and say, I want to become a member of the royal family. Apart from the fact you wouldn't get past the door, I'm not sure Her Majesty would look very... Well, let's not go down that route. Becoming a member of God's royal family is so simple. I just simply have to say to the Lord, Lord, I want it. I want to be what you created me for, to be a member of your family. But what about being a member of the family? I was reminded of our physical life. I mean, becoming a human being is almost an instant, well, not quite. I don't think my mother would have said it was an instant reality. But in real terms, it's relatively instant. But being a human being takes the whole of life and involves the whole of life. And so it is as a part of the royal family. A part of God's family is not just becoming a believer and becoming a follower of Jesus and saying, oh, I'm a part of the band, I'm a part of the family. It's then saying my life subsequently should take on a particular form. It should actually match what I am now a part of. It should be appropriate for what I am. I should live as a prince or as a princess. A dream, a demand, becoming, being. And then two pairs. Character and conduct, attitude and actions. If you go into this whole picture of wholeness, the whole of life and the totality of life, what life is made up of, you come to certain aspects of what we are as human beings. We have a character. What is our character? Is it changing? Is it being changed to bear the family likeness? And where do we find the best example of that? But in Jesus. And so in the New Testament we hear about believers being conformed into the likeness of Christ. If we take on the family likeness. That's our character. That's the character he wants to form in us. He doesn't assume that we have it when we start, but he wants us to have it when we finish. Hence the presence of the Spirit. Hence the activity of the Spirit. Since subsequently our response to the Spirit is to bring out that character of Christ, such that he lives again in the lives of his brothers and sisters. And then there's conduct. As I said earlier, when we were thinking about the royal family, don't they get it in the neck if they do something wrong? Have you and I not had it in the neck when we've done things wrong? Other people know what we should be doing, or perhaps not doing. And sometimes they're not slow at telling us, because they expect a certain level of conduct appropriate for what we say we are. So does our Father. So does the King. He expects us to conduct ourselves in a way that is appropriate as one of his children. Attitudes, actions, what goes on in the inside and what comes out on the outside. Are our attitudes being formed, or should I say perhaps reformed, through the activity of the Spirit, which says this is how God thinks? This is how I think. And our actions, do they complement each other, or do they perhaps conflict? And then finally, when we get to the real core of it, we get completeness and consistency. God's dream is that we should be made complete as his children, bearing the image of his Son. And that it should be right through our being, at every level of what we are. Now again, when I was thinking about it this morning, I was not only given the idea of thinking about the royal family, but I also went to the Great British Bake Off. You've got to have a pretty vivid imagination, you see, which is mine. Any followers of the Great British Bake Off? I don't follow it that much, but I know one thing, is that at the end of each level of competition, the competitors have to do a showcase bake, yes? Or is it a showstopper? I keep forgetting which one it is. Which one is it? You can't remember. Anyway, they have to do this magnificent bake to show their skill. And they look amazing, don't they? Until Paul gets his knife and cuts into the heart of it and takes out a slice. Ooh. Now the truth can really be seen. What would happen if somebody cut us open? Not literally, of course. But if people were to look at every level of our life, would it be consistent? Would it be complete? Now, you may wonder, are we ever going to look at Proverbs? Well, we are. Only briefly. You might be thankful to know. Let me just quote some of the Proverbs. Let me remind you again, this is a king talking to his son. 5:21, for your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. 16:2, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. 16:6, through love and faithfulness sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. 20:27, the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. 21:2-3, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. and 23, 6 and 7. Do not eat the food of Do not feed the food. No, you don't. You eat it. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies. For he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you. But his heart is not in it. What is Solomon saying? What is Solomon trying to get through to his son? Well, it seems to me that he goes right to the heart of the issue. And that is the state of our heart. I was reminded that we look at people from the outside in. But God looks from the inside out. Question is, am I at peace with the Lord? Is there really a connect between us? Am I in tune with him, with his purposes, with his desires for me and for others through me? And is it matched by the rest of my life? I was asked to do this a couple of months ago, nearly. And as I say, as far as I was concerned, I was being given the short straw. But I accepted the challenge to look at my own life and to review my own condition. I imagined, and I challenge you to do this, I imagined myself walking down a road such that everybody around me could hear what I was thinking. I considered what I looked at, what I listened to. I considered the things that I said and the things that I did and others that I didn't. And I can only tell you at the end of the exercise, I was sure the Lord was not always pleased. As you and I think about our lives as members of the royal family, in private, in public, at home, at work, in society, even here in church, are we what we say we are? Are we what he says we are? As I say, as I thought about this morning, it was not a pleasant exercise. And therefore, I want to add a PS. Two more words that I think we need to keep in the picture. And that is failure and forgiveness. Centuries after Solomon, we've had one quote of John's, and I've got another one for you. At the beginning of his letter, 1 John 1, 8 and 9, John says this. And before I read it, let me remind you, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to those outside, he's talking to those inside. And this is what he says. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, to which I, for one, would say, hallelujah. God is well aware, our Father is well aware, as any parent of a child knows, that a child doesn't always come up to the mark. But I'm reminded, in a sense, that we walk the way the same as we started it. How did we start on our journey as royal children? Simply by saying to God, I'm sorry. How do we keep on the road? Exactly the same way. I'm sorry. I don't always get it right. But I want it. We have an opportunity to review our lives. Where are they? I'm mindful this morning that some of us are not believers. Perhaps you don't even know what the Christian life is about. Well, it's a part about coming into the royal family. And if that's not enough for you, I can't think what would be. But what about those of us that are members of the royal family? John, in chapter 3, we read the first bit, and I want to go on to what he says in the next bit. Chapter 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. That's Jesus. And just to really make sure we heard him, "Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Full stop. But I have to read verse 3. "All who have this hope in them purifies themselves just as he is pure." I'm conscious this morning that some of us are children that makes our Father sad. And the question comes, what are we going to do about it? Let's pray together. Let's pause for a moment just to reflect on this awesome dream that the Trinity have of having the royal family of the universe, and that you and I can be a part of it, members of it, princes and princesses to the King of Kings. Lord, we stagger. We're awestruck that you would want us in your family. But that's why you created us. That's why you gave us life. That was in your mind, your heart, as we came into this world, that we would belong to you. And we would ultimately spend eternity with you. Lord, we can but say, thank you. Lord, when it comes to our life as your children, we are conscious so often that our lives do not please you. We don't live as your children. We don't represent you in the right way. And so much so that others, people outside, don't want to know you because what they see in us turns them off. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us to desire your ways. To allow the Spirit to bring us into those realities that make us your children. Lord, accept us as we are and take us on to where you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.